1.
When I'm working out, I love to listen to your podcast.
Whenever you say something, other people react to it.
Taking my breath away, Aaron.
Vern Lundquist joins me. Hall of Famer Jim Calhoun, NASCAR icon Dale Earnhardt Jr. Kirk Herbstreit is on the phone.
Here. Welcome in, everybody, to a late night edition of the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Torres. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody enjoyed both Final Four games on Saturday night. That is right. It is late. It is about 12:30 Eastern time or so as we are going live here at State Farm Stadium in Arizona. Just want to do a quick little like 20-minute-ish reaction or so to the two games. Give you my first thought on the game on Monday as well. So everybody come on in. By the way, do me a favor. Drop a note in the comments section if some reason you can't hear me. Producer Matt, unfortunately, could not travel with me this week to Phoenix. And so because of it, I just want to make sure that everything sounds good and looks good. I mean, I know I look good. I know the Huskies look good, but want to make sure that it sounds good as well. Before we get started, a couple quick things. First of all, thank you to BetUS, our presenting sponsor. Listen, it's been an awesome week here. A lot of the stuff I'm doing is thanks to the folks at BetUS. I am so grateful to them for allowing me to be here in Phoenix for these games. And BetUS, listen, there's one game, there's technically two games left in the college basketball season. And if you want to take advantage of the best offer going on the internet in sports gambling, you got two games left: Iowa, South Carolina women's game on Sunday, and of course Monday, UConn, Purdue. And that offer is this: a 125% deposit match on your first three deposits. So say you didn't pick the, say you didn't back the way Torres did. Torres told you, take UConn minus 11.5, take Purdue minus 9.5 tonight. Say you didn't do that. Well, guess what? Go ahead, put another $100 in. If you click the little link in the show description right there, you put in $100, BetUS is going to give you $125 extra to play with. Say you lose it all on Iowa tomorrow, they'll give you another 125% deposit match on the next game, obviously, which would be UConn and Purdue on Monday. So make sure to take advantage. BetUS Sportsbook and BetUSSportsbook.com. Appreciate their support. Appreciate them having me here in Phoenix. Also, by the way, the Bracket Fanatics Bracket Bucks Challenge. We're going to get you an update on that on Sunday night show. Probably do a late Sunday, early Monday preview show looking at all things national championship game. But listen, Bracket Fanatics, they're giving away Bracket Bucks. My bet was Purdue minus 9.5 on Saturday. So we'll see who got the Bracket Bucks, who didn't get the Bracket Bucks. But thank you again to Bracket Fanatics for their support. Again, we'll get you an update, and we'll get you another bet for the championship game on Monday. So thank you to Bracket Fanatics. All right, with that said, let's do this, people. First of all, the chat is humming here on a late Saturday night. Appreciate everybody's support. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get to the topic of the day. And the topic of the day, listen, it is the Final Four. We are set. We are officially good to go as we got to, listen, I think certainly the second game was fun. The first one, maybe not so much. But I want to go ahead and break it down, and I want to start by saying this. You know, bluntly, the Alabama-UConn game, UConn wins 86-72, went basically exactly how I told you it would. You know how I know? Because my final score prediction was 87-72. But as we get into it, let me start by saying this. Even though we got to the end point that I thought, we got to go ahead and give Bama a ton of credit. They fought. They showed up ready to play really in a way that few teams have during this UConn run of dominance, okay? And so when I think about this game, a couple things come to mind. What did I say about Bama all week? I had people, Torres, is UConn unbeatable? I said, first of all, listen, in this tournament, nobody is unbeatable, period, end of story. But what I said was, at the same time, I said, look, Bama, I don't know if they have the blueprint, but as I said on the show all week, last time UConn lost, only time UConn lost in 2024, the calendar year of 2024, was to Creighton. Creighton hit 15 threes in that game. Bama hit 16 threes against Clemson. And I said, if you can hit 16 threes in a game, I don't care if Bama's playing UConn, the Lakers, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, whatever. You hit 16 threes, you can beat anybody. And so to me, that was the key to the game. How many do they hit? How much do we have to worry about that? And can UConn withstand the body blows of Alabama? Well, that's exactly what happened. Credit to them. I think Estrada hit literally a three on the first possession. I could be mistaken on that. I know Steph Castle missed a three. Estrada made one early. But at the end of the day, listen, Alabama showed up ready to play, and we know what the story of the first half was. 8 of 11 from three, and they were in the game. What was it, 44-40 or something, or 46-42? But that UConn was up by four, but, you know, they were up by, what, 6 or 7? It felt like they were going to pull away. Sears hits that big three. Sears hits a bucket right before halftime expires. And so you sit there and you look, and essentially Alabama was right in that game. But what happened in the second half? It's exactly what I told you would. And this isn't like a Torres bragging because Torres got it right. Who cares? Like, it's not about being right or wrong. But UConn just wears on you and wears on you and wears on you. And I just didn't know if Alabama had enough for 40 minutes. And that's essentially exactly what happened, right? Because you look at this game, Alabama finishes 11 of 23 from three. So they start 8 for 11. They go 3 of their final 12 from beyond the three-point arc. Now, in terms of UConn, a couple things that do stand out to me from the UConn perspective. First of all, the Steph Castle, the freshman, I mean, get out of here. What is it? What was it? Kimmy Gibbler? What did she used to say? Cut it out. Cut it out. Is that Full House? I can't remember. But I bring it up because Steph Castle, as a true freshman, and I know he's a McDonald's All-American, he's going to be a lottery pick, but 21 points, 2 3-pointers, 5 boards, and he was chasing around Mark Sears in this game. By the way, one thing I could say before we get back to some big takeaways, the speed and athleticism on that court was insane. Okay, where I was sitting, I had the perfect sight line into essentially like basically what was going on and was able to see perfectly what Alabama was trying to do in the first half and what UConn was trying to do to stop it. And the speed, the movement, the quick twitch, you know, guys running all different directions and cutting on a dime. And this was on both sides. It was Sears and Estrada and whoever in the first half, and it for Alabama, I mean, and it was Hassan Diarra and Steph Castle and Tristan Newton chasing him around on the other end. By the way, the speed of Grant Nelson pulling Donovan Klingon out. So the speed of the game was just unreal. But then I think, obviously, seeing what Steph Castle did defensively was absolutely incredible. I know that Mark Sears finished with a pretty good game, 24 points, 9 of 14 from the field. Credit to him, because it obviously started really slow. It's a credit to him for how good he is that he kind of kept them in the game late. But Steph Castle was the first takeaway from the UConn perspective. Then from the UConn perspective, I mean, we got to talk about Kling Kong Donovan Klingon, okay? I mean, this guy was unbelievable. And this is what we talked about on the show all week. I said, you got to run guys off the three-point line, and then you funnel them into the paint. They have no answer for Donovan Klingon, and that's exactly what was the case on Saturday night. 18 points for Donovan Klingon, 5 boards, 4 blocks. I'm telling you, man, they miscount his blocks because they said he only had 5 against Illinois. It felt like it was about 12. Well, in this case, it felt like way more than 4 in this game, but he was unbelievable. And I thought, you know, I give Dan Hurley and his staff a lot of credit, okay? Listen, they're great coaches. They're well compensated. I'm not saying that this was the greatest coaching strategy in the history of the world, but I thought it was interesting in the first half. They never, even when Alabama got hot, they never deviated from what the game plan was. And what the game plan was every time Alabama came down and hit a three, dump the ball to Donovan Klingon or Samson Johnson, by the way, and just let him feast and let them know that if they're coming in the paint, it's going to be an awful night for them. And so that was clearly the game plan, and so much credit to UConn for never panicking. I thought it would be – listen, we've all seen these tournament games, and I'm not going to share all of them because I know some of you are fans of different teams and I don't want you to have to remember awful memories. But at the same time, you look at the fact that Alabama's hitting all these threes, and I just give UConn credit for never deviating, always pumping the ball in the post, all that good stuff. And then I think the third big takeaway from UConn, just a team effort. I mean, you talk about the team effort where I think it was Castle and Klingon are the story. But at the end of the day, a couple things. One, UConn's, I don't want to say they were struggling, but they're maybe up by one or two in the first half. Tristan Newton is struggling. He goes on a personal 5-0 run. Then Cam Spencer, who was struggling. At one point, those two were a combined 1-for-8. Then Cam Spencer goes on his own 5-0 run. And in the game, you look at UConn. How about this? All five starters finishing in double figures. So credit to UConn. Listen, they are great. They are dominant. They advanced to Monday night. But I don't know what else there is to say other than that I thought the game plan was perfect. I give the staff credit, and I give the players credit for not panicking, because that felt like one of those classic tournament games that could go sideways, that Bama could have stayed hot, and then what happens? And, you know, is there a possibility, that all of a sudden it's a one-possession game late in the game? I just sit there and say I give UConn so much credit for never panicking, for staying true to themselves, and for getting a win against a very talented Bama team. From the Bama perspective, listen, you know, again, I kind of talked about what my thoughts were coming into this game. But you needed to hit threes, you needed to keep hitting threes, and you needed to keep that game pressure on UConn. Problem is UConn's so tough, they're so physical. You know, and I think this is no disrespect to Bama or the SEC, but, I mean, you just look at the physicality of UConn, clinging down low. Tristan Newton has size on the perimeter. Steph Castle has size on the perimeter. And you got Aaron Estrada. You got Grant Nelson. And you got Mark Sears. They're just small guys. And so I felt like it was going to wear on Alabama, but I give them credit, man. There was, you know, really until about the last 6-7 minutes, it was UConn makes a run, Bama makes a run. UConn makes a run, Bama makes a run. Let me see here. Adam Zagoria, a great writer out of the New York City area, got to know Zags a little bit actually at the UConn-Kansas game earlier this year. He put out a great tweet to start the second half. Yeah, I think it was to start the second half. 8-0 run from UConn. Then a 7-0 run from Bama. Then a 7-0 run from UConn. Then a 7-0 run from Bama. And so I just bring it up because it's just such a credit, such a testament to this Bama team that they were able to stay in and fight until the end. Listen. I know it's easy to say they're an SEC team, don't feel too whatever, but the bottom line is, remember, this was a team that finished fourth in the SEC. This is a team that, oh, by the way, never forget, they got blown off the court by Florida in the SEC tournament. Like, so for them to get to this stage, and I keep saying it, I don't know if Bama fans are annoyed with me for saying it, but when I look at what Nate Oates has done this year, I am so impressed, and I think it is so incredible because this was not one of his best teams. I keep going back to it. His three best players, Mark Sears began his career at Ohio. Aaron Estrada was at Hofstra last year. Grant Nelson was at North Dakota State last year. And so, listen, even if Grant Nelson, if we think he probably has an NBA future, like, it doesn't change the fact that this was a team that, based on their talent, I think they overachieved. I've been saying it for months. You can go back to the Bama-Tennessee game at Coleman Coliseum about 2 weeks left in the season. The fact that they were about to win that game, I don't want to say they were about to. Tennessee fans, I don't want you mad at me, but like, they were in that game until the final four. I'm like, Nate Oates is overachieving like you know what with this squad. Same time, I also think it's worth noting this. As disappointing as tonight was, here is the good news, okay? The good news is that when you look at this Bama team, I've said it consistently, they're built for next year. You look at this roster, they can bring back virtually everybody except for Aaron Estrada. Mark Sears could be back. Grant Nelson could be back. Sam Walters could be back. You go on and on down the list. Latrell Reitzel could be back. And then, oh, by the way, three top 50 recruits, two McDonald's All-Americans. Was talking to Preston Murphy, their assistant coach, over the course of the last few days. They are really excited about those two freshmen coming in. So, listen, I'm starting the early stages of the way too early top 25, but I think there's a scenario where Bama is your preseason number one team in the country in 2024. So credit to Bama. Credit to them for getting on this stage. And listen, Bama fans, you know how I feel about Nate Oates. And I am here to tell you, it will not be the last for the Alabama Crimson Tide on these big stages in basketball. All right, so what we're going to do, if I do this right, remember, there's no producer, Matt. If I do this right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little Purdue versus NC State. And then I will give you my first thoughts on the game on Monday night, Purdue, UConn. Quick break, hopefully.
America's favorite sportsbook and casino, live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
All right, everybody. I'm back. Good to be back. How about Torres doing his own producing? Producer Matt, you're on the hot seat. What does part of my take do? Hot seat, cool throne? Producer Matt, your seat's hot, baby, because that BetUS ad, I did it all by my damn self. Anyway, love producer Matt. I'm just kidding. He couldn't travel with me this weekend to Phoenix. He'll be with me at all these other Final Fours going forward. With that said, though, let's go ahead and switch gears. And let's go ahead and talk about the Purdue-NC State game. And what I will say about Purdue-NC State, by the way, and I said this about the UConn-Bama game too, if you're one of these ignorant people that truly believes that, like, the college basketball, the product is not very good, like, you're a loser. Shut up, okay? UConn-Bama was entertaining. It was fun. It was high speed. It was athleticism. It was great. Now, NC State-Purdue was not great, but NC State-Purdue went a lot like I thought it would as well. Purdue ends up winning that game. NC State Wolfpack, final score in that one, 63 to 50. By the way, can you still hear me? I may have some technical difficulties here. I think we're okay. Somebody just give me a thumbs up in the chat if we're okay. I think we're okay here. I think Torres is doing okay. If we're having technical difficulties, please let me know. I think the mic might have gone out there for half a second. But with that said, I'm going to keep going. You let me know in the chat if it's no good. But really quickly, what I would just say about Purdue NC State, it went the way that I thought that it would. Again, a lot like the first game, is I just thought NC State might be able to hang. I thought NC State might be okay. But Purdue is tough. Purdue is physical. Purdue, takes care of business. Purdue is a lot to handle. Thank you guys for letting me know that the mic is still good, by the way. I was nervous there. Sorry, Torres is producing on his own tonight. So, listen, with Purdue NC State, I just thought it was going to be a tough ask for NC State to play a full 40 minutes. Purdue, I know I've been critical of them. By the way, did you guys see? Torres is a man of the people. I went out there and took pictures with Purdue fans on Saturday afternoon. They love me. I wish I could pull up the picture of Torres in the sequin shirt. I got one of those sequin Purdue jackets. But anyway, Purdue, as critical as I have been at times, what did I say after the Tennessee game? I said, look, watch the Gonzaga game. Watch the Tennessee game. Watch the NC State game. They wear on you. They wear on you. They wear on you. They tire you out. They tire you out. They tire you out. And so Purdue, that's exactly what they did. It was a six-point game at halftime. They end up pulling away 63-50. And I'll be honest, I don't know that ever in the second half I felt like it was going to be an NC State win. By the way, let's stick with Purdue for a second. First off, let me say this on Purdue. Credit to them for two things, okay? One, I think they proved they can win with a good but not great Zach Edey game. 20 points, 12 boards for Zach Edey is only an okay game. But as Purdue fans were very quick to point out, Purdue only took 10 foul shots in this game. So, yes, I understand Purdue fans. He only took 10. By the way, NC State only took 4, so spare me on, the refs, whatever. I think the refs were just like, dude, we've heard the narrative. We've heard the noise. We're staying out of this one. But Purdue wins comfortably, and it was really because of the guys, not just Zach Edey, but Lance Jones, especially early, made a couple plays late. Fletcher Lawyer late in the game, those back-to-back three-pointers. It was a team effort for Purdue to get the win. Really quickly from the NC State perspective, listen, I actually thought NC State battled more than I expected. I mean, listen, Torres has been on Old Takes Exposed once or twice in his life. And by once or twice, I mean like 30 or 40 times. And when Purdue went up 7-2, and I think they went up 13-4. And I said, this game's over. I said, I just don't think NC State has the bodies to deal with them. So for NC State to keep fighting back, I think it was an incredible testament to them, incredible testament to the team, and an incredible testament to the fight that they have. You know, you look at the DJ Horn kid. Listen, I thought he was phenomenal. Zach Kiddy was the best player on the floor. DJ Horn was a very close second. 20 points, 12 boards for Zach Edey, but 20 points, 6 boards, and 2 3-pointers for DJ Horn. So for NC State, listen, it sucks. I get it. But I'll say this, even with NC State, it felt like, one, the fans appreciated this moment. Like, it was one of those, you know, 83 was so special, but I didn't hear anyone in the NC State community saying it's 83 all over again. Now, maybe they went to visit, you know, Jimmy Valvano's headstone and all that good stuff. But, like, I think NC State fans knew, listen, it was a great run. We're thrilled to be here. Obviously, 10, what was it, 4-4, 8-9 straight single elimination games, 5 in the ACC tournament, 4 in the NCAA tournament to get here. You beat Duke, which I think makes them feel really good. You beat Duke twice, by the way, once in the NCAA tournament, and especially to get to the Final Four, that's something you'll always have over them. But I did feel like NC State fans kind of knew, like, we're going to probably have to go through Purdue and UConn to win the national championship. I don't really know if we think this is going to happen. So for NC State fans, listen, I don't want to say that they came here to lose the game. But it was funny. I remember last year I was at the Final Four. I was talking to some Miami fans. Remember, UConn played Miami in the Final Four, as crazy as that sounds. Now, I remember talking to Miami fans. They were like, well, listen, we're just happy to be here. I mean, Miami was good last year, but, hey, we've never been to this stage. It's so cool. We're so happy. And I think NC State, of the four teams, I believe, really kind of felt like the one that was like the happy to be there kind of group. So NC State loses, Purdue wins. And very quickly, let me just give my 5 minutes on the Purdue-UConn game, and then bluntly we'll get out of here. If anybody has any questions, drop them in the comments section. We'll get to a few questions before we get out of here. Thank you guys for confirming that the mic is not busted. So UConn-Purdue, I'm going to say this. It's going to sound crazy. I think I was more worried. I'm just going to be blunt. As a UConn alum, UConn fan, everyone knows, I think I was more worried about Alabama and their ability to hit like 16 threes in this game than I will be about Purdue on Monday. And it's not to say Purdue can't win. I think what it really comes down to is pretty straightforward. What happens with Edey? One, I'm just curious. Like, Donovan Klingon was asked about it at the podium, and he was like, dude, I'm excited. And he said it in a very respectful way. He's the national player of the year, but I'm really excited for the challenge of taking him on. Thought that was really cool. And obviously, look, if Zach Edey gets Klingon in early foul trouble, then yeah, of course Purdue can absolutely stay in this game. But when I look at this game really kind of goes back to something that I've kind of hinted at over the course of this episode, and that's this, is that when I look at the Purdue-UConn game, I think, listen, Edey might go for 40 and 30 if Klingon gets in foul trouble, and I don't think he will. But I do think this, is that I think the guards are going to be the difference in this game. And I'll be honest, I don't think Purdue has an answer on the perimeter for UConn. First of all, UConn's just positional size, I think, is going to give them nightmares, right? Braden Smith, 6'3", 6'4", maybe. Fletcher Lawyer, 6'1", 6'2". You're going up against 6'5", Tristan Newton, 6'6", Steph Castle, okay? And I know, whatever, you know, probably Cam Spencer will be on him, Hassan Diarra, whatever. But one, there's the size element of it. But two, and I think this is an important part. By the way, maybe Steph Castle, I think, potentially probably guards Lance Jones. Well, ask Mark Sears how tough Steph Castle is. Ask Boo Booey from Northwestern how tough Steph Castle is. Ask Terrence Shannon Jr., an All-American, how tough Steph Castle is. And I think that'll give you the answer to that matchup. But the other thing, I'll be blunt. I think the quickness is going to be the difference because, again, being courtside, so I had a direct view where I was sitting with Alabama in the first half on offense and UConn on defense. And the speed in which the game was played, and I know I just talked about it, but, I mean, Sears, Estrada, this guy, that guy, cutting quick, movement, ball, this, that, the other thing. And Diarra, Castle, Newton, Caravan fighting through screens. It's not that Purdue doesn't set screens. It's not that they're not physical. But you watched Purdue today. What did I just say a minute ago? DJ Horn kind of cooked him. DJ Horn kind of got to the rim whenever he wanted. DJ Horn finished with 20 points for NC State. And so when I look at this game, obviously, look, the story is going to be Edie versus Klingon. But at the same time, I just think the matchup that is going to matter, I don't know if Braden Smith can do what he needs to do. And by the way, he obviously did not have a very good game himself today. 3 points. He did have 8 boards and 6 assists, so credit to him. But I don't know if Braden Smith can get the buckets that he needs. I don't know if Fletcher Lawyer can get the buckets that he needs. And I think if you shut off the faucet on the three-point line, Edie can get 25, 30, whatever. But if they're, you know, if they're 4 for 19 from three, that is an advantageous matchup for UConn. So we'll see what happens. I do want to mention, I'm excited that we got this game, okay? And I've said this so many times, but people love to crap on college hoops, right? They love to just say, oh, college hoops, it stinks. The product is so bad. There's no stars. Well, here's the bottom line. First of all, the idea that there's no stars, if you don't know the names, that's on you. Tristan Newton was an All-American this year who, oh, by the way, played on a national champion last year. Zach Edey is a reigning, two-time player of the year, national player of the year. So it's like, we get the two of the teams that were, there were three teams all year that were essentially considered the best. It was Purdue, UConn, Houston, okay? We're getting two of them on Monday. And on top of getting the ones on Monday, on top of getting those two, National Player of the Year. I think Dan Hurley is ascending to be the face of college basketball as a head coach. Listen, I've been critical of Matt Painter, but he's been around forever. I think his star has risen in this tournament. National Player of the Year, defending champion. By the way, the history that is potentially on the line if UConn wins a second straight one. I still don't think people are talking about how insane it is because Florida went back-to-back with their same starting lineup, the same starting five. Duke in 91-92 went back-to-back with four of their top five starters back. UConn lost three dudes to the NBA and are still steamrolling everybody. So I don't think they're getting enough credit for what they're doing, but there's obviously one more game. But I do like UConn. I do like the matchup. We'll do a full Sunday Aaron Torres pod reacting to all of it, previewing the game. I'll give you more thoughts on that. But that's my early thought is I think UConn is in very good position going into this game. Really quickly, drop any last questions, and I will get to any of them if there are some. Dan Rivera says, LFTAT. I appreciate your guys' support. We got a nice crowd here on a Saturday night at about 1 a.m. Eastern right now. By the way, this show will obviously be available on podcast if you miss any of it. John Davis said, Bama gave them hell, but UConn was just too good. John, I agree with you 100%. John then followed up. UConn did a great job of running Bama off the three-point line in the second half. It's funny, you know, I didn't want to say too much right now, but you know, our buddy Hassan Diarra, I did talk to him a little bit about on Friday about, listen, everybody knows you got to run Bama off the three-point line. Why can nobody do it? And he kind of explained, he's like, look, their actions are great. Their this is great. Their that is great. And I think he said it on the show on Monday or Tuesday or whatever, but he said, we got to feed him into the big boy because the big boy is the biggest difference maker in college hoops. So credit to UConn for fighting through all that good stuff. We'll see what happens from there. Womb Pig says, it does seem we really to get through a half in a foul situation. I don't know what that means. A couple of you guys commenting on the mics. Thank you for that. Dan Rivera, I think this is a great point by Dan. He says, NC State lucked out. NC State lucked out. Lucked out with their draw. I agree. Listen, luck is part of it. But listen, Kentucky obviously losing in the opening round of the tournament, beneficial to them. I thought the Jamal Shedd injury, if he stays healthy, they probably beat Duke. They're probably in the Final Four this weekend. So NC State did get lucky. Dan also asked, did any Purdue fans try to fight me? I snuck in there, shot some quick videos. But nobody tried to fight me. I met a nice group of female Purdue fans, and we did a quick little video that we will be airing probably on Sunday or Monday, where they kind of let me have it. They said, Torres, we don't like the way you've been talking about our little boy, Zach Edey here. Torres, get your act together. So that'll be really fun. No Purdue fans tried to fight me. I did have one after Purdue won, in which they only took 10 foul shots. By the way, if you're listening with kids on podcast or whatever, please put in some earmuffs. But they did tell me to, quote, take a dildo and shove it in places that it should not be shoved. So I got a couple of those on Saturday night. One Purdue fan said, take that L, MF-er. I think it was going in. I think it was coming out of the Tennessee game, but he kind of let me know in the middle of the week. So, no, I'll be honest. The Purdue fans that I dealt with, like all fans, everybody's tough on social media. But the Purdue fans that I met in person were great. So with that said, listen, it is 1 o'clock Eastern time. Not gonna lie, there's a little UConn after party that I might try to hit real quick. But I'll be back Sunday night, maybe Monday morning, depending. I have some things that I got to do tomorrow, and we'll get our full preview in our official pick. If you're not subscribed to the show, please make sure to do so. Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music, wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure to subscribe. Also, make sure to rate and review the show. Go ahead, give us a quick 5 stars. If you're watching on YouTube, click that subscribe button. By the way, we hit well over 35,000 at this point subscribers. Cannot thank you all enough for what you do. By the way, we will do one of these on Monday night. UConn-Purdue, the natty title game that once we got to the Final Four, I think everybody wanted. We are getting it. I'll be back on Monday. Everybody have a great evening. We'll talk soon. Fun night of basketball.